Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by the Late Night Poets at allpoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we have anthologies available on Amazon, which boasts a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games you can play to heighten the senses. Crawl inside our lovers' minds and make their imaginations run wild. Or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. And tonight we'll be exploring one of those rules. What does it mean to have a safe word? So often, this lifestyle can be misconstrued as almost borderline abusive, but truthfully, in a healthy relationship, there is a level of trust and understanding that there are limit party is willing to go and rules that each party is going to follow. So while a submissive may be called a submissive, they truly hold all the power because with one word, it stops. And a dom knows that they are there to honor that, that they are there for the pleasure of their submissive. It's a game, and it's fun. And I'm really excited to see what that concept brought out in our poets tonight. And I believe Pam is here to help me out. Hello, Pam? Am I alone? Can I be heard? Now I'm freaking out. Hold on.
Hello? It's not. Oh, it's me.
Noah's here. Hi, Noah.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Pam. I was confused.
No. I thought Pam was going to be here, but apparently the show has started, and I have guests, and this is exciting. I know Saul was here. Mark, are you here by chance?
Yes, I am. Victoria, I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm excited for you guys to be here. And Pam is apparently off using duct tape, which seems perfectly Pam-like. So with that, we'll begin the show.
Sorry, I hate to, if you need help until Pam comes to pull your poetry, I'd be glad to do that. I know how to do it. If you want me to do that, if any help I can do until she comes, I'll be glad.
Well, Pam usually just handles the phone lines for me, but if you want to play as co-host, I am all for that too.
Oh, just for a little bit, because difference of hours, probably an hour, and then I have to run because of difference of an hour. Yes, I'd be glad to help. If you can.
Awesome. All right. So, Sawa, I know you had a SoundCloud. Would you mind, do you want us to see if we got your SoundCloud loaded, or would you mind reading your poem for us first?
Let's see. Whatever's fine with me, whatever you like, I'm okay. I'm a very flexible person, so whatever's easy for you.
Well, it's good you're flexible. This show is all about being flexible, right?
Yes.
All right, okay. Well, if you would be so kind as to read, that would be great.
Okay, perfect. It is called Words Buried, Les Mots Enfouis. In a gloomy day, sadness found my heart in a moment's flare, my mind vainly trying to calm awakened feelings, words buried deep inside the shattered dream, hidden sadness unnoticed from his faraway eyes. Change of thoughts suddenly showed his presence, alone, standing under the pouring rain, momentarily cleansing pain, a sad smile mingled joining me. Later in the day, head on the pillow, rain of tears kept in a cloud all day, rapidly descended. My mind given discrete feelings are now welcomed and are felt in my dream highs. My smiles mixed with tears, my dreams mixed with feelings, purified pain, allowing emotion to fly away one by one, to say adieu to beautiful dream never lived. Morning waiting by the window, mind and heart listening willingly and softly to inner voice. Wake up, dear, light is here, lift up yourself. A stretch with gentle breathing followed, looking curiously behind the curtain, looking deeply at the sky in search of the sun. Cat feelings flew away, blowing a kiss to a faraway dream. End of poem.
Oh, Sawa, that is a fantastic poem. I love how instead of going so much into what this lifestyle is, kind of how 50 Shades of Grey made it seem like this is everything the lifestyle is, there's actually this concept of aftercare, which is For those that don't know and are listening, aftercare is typically after you've had a session with your person. And if they're worried that maybe you went too far or if they just reached their limit, you take a moment and you pause and you check in with them. You make sure that they are all right. And I really feel like in this, you have captured that. You've captured the gentle intimacy that comes with this sort of relationship that not so many people see. It is the understanding of sadness in a person's eyes. in trying to find a way to uplift them in caring about them, not just for a physical act, but for caring about them as a whole person and seeing those little nuances about them. You begin, and really in any intimate relationship, you should have this, but we should be growing together and learning to see the sadness that's hidden behind their eyes. So check in with them in the morning and say, wake up, darling, and let them truly enter into the day as a brighter day. Just overall, it is gentle and it is kind, and it really gives me the feel of waking up on a spring morning with that gentle breeze where the world is bright and light and full of possibilities. It's truly beautiful, Fella. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Of course. And Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, beautiful poem, as you called out, Victoria. I saw, you know, the sadness is just this feeling. And it seems like, you know, there are kind of problems, too. I took a notice from his faraway eyes as kind of a, you know, after intimacy, what I took away from that was he doesn't see her feelings, and you know that's a barrier to let it, and she carries that pain away and deals with it, smiles mingled with tears, and that's what I got from that one, unnoticed from his faraway eyes, that he, you know, they're intimate and close, as you noted, but there's also kind of a barrier and a remoteness that has to deal with, and it's, I believe, part of the pain that's mentioned and that's carried away, and it's just beautiful and spiritual in the way it moves through the emotion, resulting emotions part of the aftercare, as you mentioned, the resulting emotions of intimacy after the fact, and it was just such a wonderful ending. Listening willingly and softly to soft inner voice, a stretch with gentle breathing, looking deeply at the sky in search of the sun. That's just simply and strongly stated. It's beautiful, beautiful, and then sad feelings blew away, blowing a kiss to a faraway dream. That's just the spirituality emerging and acceptance. And it's a very strong ending and a very strong poem.
Yeah, he'd absolutely grasp it. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That was an absolutely gorgeous, Mark. I mean, that was a gorgeous comment. See, I'm mixing up my words. It was so beautiful. So thank you for that. And thank you, Sawa, for sharing that.
Thank you.
I mean, it really is just a gorgeous work. But you always bring like the best work. It just makes my heart so happy.
All right. Would you like to put one, or you have it?
Well, Mark is here, so I would like to make sure that we get to have Mark read for us real quick, if Mark would be good for that. And then if you want to pull a couple poems that you'd like to start off with, Sawa, I am all for that.
That's okay. I'm just going to pull. I'm not going to come. Just pull and you do all the work.
and I believe we have a ninja on the show now. He snuck in.
Well,
as is for his usual
vampire,
self, crawled out of the shadow.
Is that what he is?
Full of rogues. Ninja's close enough.
Oh, perfect. Oh, did you by chance, our mysterious vampire, get to hear this poem?
Mark's or Sawa's?
Sawa's.
I'd heard part of it, and I did read it over, and I loved what you were saying about how she how this kind of described more of the aftercare effect, which is something that, it is kind of missing from all the so-called BDSM movies and whatnot a lot, and it's something that is actually a big part, I think, of the lifestyle thing, because if someone's dominant with a submissive, a lot of the thing is they get into a certain headspace, which I think that is referred to as like a dom space or subspace, and after you come out of that, yeah, like you were saying, sometimes people can go overboard, or there is a thing there where the person that was in the more dominant role can be, concerned or wants to make sure their partner is okay, you know, and thing that might have been a little bit intense. And I do like how you picked that out of this piece. And it was a beautiful piece too, Sawa, and very beautifully read. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I have to make an explanation. I think Mark gets it. I'm very not clear sometimes. I write better in French than English. It's really the inner voice is my voice, like listening to wake up to you, telling me don't worry about what happened, just let go. I don't like to stay in darkness. I always have to finish with a happy note.
Yeah.
So it's not really, it's the other way, like talking to myself. I just didn't make it very clear, I think. Mark kind of grasped it a little bit. But yes, but I like the interpretation, and this is the beauty of the poetry that can somehow everyone bring their own interpretation. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. I think that mental processing is really good too, though, because
yes.
You know, we can get wrapped up in our own minds. We can let ourselves be stuck in these dark holes that we never quite crawl out of, you know, and I do think that, yeah, and I'm diagnosed with clinical depression. So I know that there's a lot of times when it's a chemical thing and try as I might, it's just going to be there. But there are other times when definitely we get to choose if we're going to wallow in self-pity or if we're going to set our foot, you know, step out into the day with our right foot. And so, I mean, even with that in mind, it's still a really powerful poem about choosing lighter, choosing happiness for yourself, whatever that might be, even if others don't quite understand it, and how sometimes we have to do that self-care for our own well-being. So I wouldn't say that necessarily you're not clear. I think I can see it both ways, and it's just, it's beautiful.
Oh, I didn't understand what self-care. I thought you're talking about taking care of someone. Self-care about me. Now I get it. I'm sorry. I just...
No. You're totally good. You're totally good.
But now I understand what you're exactly trying to say. I guess. I'm sorry.
No, this is the problem. Right. You speak so many languages. You speak so many languages that we've got to... We have to struggle to meet you where you're at, because you just...
No.
You know, you're just too smart for us.
No, Victoria. Thank you. Make me blush.
All right. And Mark, would you be so kind as to read us your poem?
Sure. I'll say something for this. This was actually something I wrote for another contest before joining Late Night Poets, and I asked Victoria about that, and I was pleased to hear that, there's a place for a poem like this that's appeared in another contest. It's a good outreach to AP in general. So, and the contest, it was written to a prompt, and I'll just read, if you don't mind, from the prompt, from the author's note, what the prompt image is.
Absolutely.
The prompt image shows the dark standing figure of a female angel dripping a strand of dubious looking unguent into the mouth of a kneeling naked woman, also darkly rendered. All of this against a cloudy background of magical red. So there were these two figures in the prompt image, a dark female angel and a woman kneeling to her, and a kind of a sexual tension and bond between the two of them. That was the image for this deliciously dark contest. And I want to note one other thing. I use the word standard referring to sexual intimacy in the poem, And I note in the author's note that the meaning of standards, you know, changed, and it applies nowadays to all sexual orientations and, you know, sexual interactions that are healthy and consensual. And I just wanted to make that point, too, since I do use that word standard. The meaning's changed. It's become what it should be. So I'll go ahead and read the poem. So it's your poem section type in for the deliciously dark contest prompt image. And I should note, I did type most of the poem in. I saw the theme and I just got an impulse and typed it. Most of what you're going to read on the spot. I imagine we've all done that, right? Not even written anything down. Yeah, we just type in the poem.
I suppose the best. It, yeah.
So I like it. The two women somehow make it more human after centuries of control by the patriarchal soul. That image of a dominant angel and a supplicant is exotic and indeed erotic. And the organizer is okay with reacting anyway, showing desires and internal fires. So I'll indulge, and I suppose divulge, typing without correction into the your poem section on the contest page. List of longings to assuage, more deep erotic kisses, exploring orifices, well, some anyway, no more explanation there, that's all I want to say. And to be sure, yes, indeed, penetration, I'm pretty standard that way. And afterwards, the magic, staring into the dark, that life is tragic is the deepest comedy. The dominant angel of sexuality helps orient the tangle of my muddled life, its permanent what if. Images like this are a deepening bliss. End of poem.
Oh, that was a fantastic poem. And I have to say, this is the second poem I've gotten to hear from you. And I really love the way you write. Because, I mean, and I'm even guilty of this, where we kind of put a lot of frou-frou on our words. It isn't bad, but yours really reads as a stream of consciousness, which is very raw and real to me. It's easy to follow. We are given images that we understand, and yet you still manage to slip in these little occasional rhymes, which I really love because I've spoken with a few people about this. I tend to be really critical of rhyming poems because people seem to default to rhyme as, well, it rhymes, therefore it's a poem. And that doesn't mean it's a good poem. And yet I do believe that rhyme is a tool of poetry. And so to have these rhymes in a non-rhyming poem, the whole, that image of a dominant angel and a supplicant, it's exotic and indeed erotic. It gives an emphasis. It gives a little bit more pause to that section to appreciate it. And so I like the way in which you delve into this because it's like a falling into this image and very real. It does not come across as forced. The situation in which you are describing does not come across as forced, but actually quite tender. And again, in a lifestyle where people hear bondism, you know, BDSM, and they attribute it to harsh, terrible things because they don't know it, it can also be this very tender kind of thing. It can be a dark magic. It can be an exploration of sexuality. And I really feel like you caught that what if, as you said. It's really cool. It's got a really good feel to it. And I'm sitting over here giddy because I just love the way that you approached it. It's delicious. And at the same time, it doesn't leave you weighted down with darkness. Just a really, really fantastic piece. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you very much.
Of course. And Silk, what did you think?
Yeah, I totally dug this piece. And I do. I like how, like you were saying, a stream of consciousness. I was trying to find the right word to define this as until you brought it up. And, yeah, that's kind of just read to me. And I could tell this is one that just flowed right out, like you were saying. And I always love when a poem does that. And the rhyming, it was very well rhymed, because one thing I've learned about good rhyme is you barely notice it, that it's there, and you just feel the flow. And then a good, like really good rhyme pieces, I'll read and go back and like, oh yeah, it rhymed too, damn. And I kind of almost miss the rhyme because it flows so well. That's a good sign too for nothing being forced. But I really liked how you got down to the end here too, about talking about the and afterwards, a magic staring into the dark, that life is tragic, is the deepest comedy. The dominant angel of sexuality helps orient the tangle of my muddied life. I really enjoyed that too, because there's a line that I've noticed that I have heard some submissive people say, that they find kind of control in that type of environment. You kind of, I think, either unintentionally or intentionally brought that to light in those few stanzas right there too. And it's just very well read as well. I enjoyed it.
That was a really awesome comment, so thank you so much. And Sawa, what did you think?
I have to say, I agree with everyone. You are the queen of comments. You just like take it and go inside, yeah. Like Socratic. You go to the bones inside and cut it and get the substance inside. It's incredible.
I go into the marrow and I suck it out. What can
yes,
I say?
No, exactly. I agree. I mean, this is really amazing. It's not only conscious, like how we go inside and think how you see your conscious thing, but also how you feel, how you approach to it. Like you see a piece of art, and then you think about it, you like it, you start like it first, then it make you think how this is about the center of control, that image dominant. That's how you see it first. Then you see it erratic, then you indulge. Really, your world shows it's incredible, I suppose. And you like you almost talk to yourself. You talk to yourself and you put it in writing step by step, and you invite us in. We don't miss any details. And then you go into the analysis of this, or imagination takes you somewhere and you put it in writing. It's just incredible. The between parentheses are very important as well. Well, some anyway, no more explanation. I'm not going to go there. I leave it for you. It's just incredible. I really very brilliant. Like you give a statement too, not only how you feel or what you think about it, a deep statement. And it made me think, when you say angelica, make me think of the Greek mythology a little bit. It took me there in my mind, how they used to, like the, when you read them, with the images are so important. It just describes the whole story, the image sometimes. You don't have to read anything. See the image, you understand the story, the myth behind it. And I think that's what you did here. We don't have the opposite. We don't have the picture. You describe it to us, and you gave us a feel for it. It's incredible. You don't need the picture, because you really gave it such a deep description with emotion and feelings.
Oh, I think that's awesome, the way that you said that. And you're right, Mark. Really, you do have this way of giving us an image in a description that's not overwhelming, but we kind of just fall into it. You don't tell us what the picture is, and yet by the end of the poem, we definitely have an idea of what we're looking at. So, Sawa, I think that was a fantastic comment. I just thank you for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, that was from all three of you. That was just incredible comments. It really was. I'm not just saying that. Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
Of course, they're most well deserved. All right, and I'm seeing real quick if we have Silk's poem on the board, and I think I neglected to put it there. So, Sawa, would you mind? Oh, you put
yes,
it on there?
I saw it. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Everyone is helping today. Amazing. Great teamwork.
All right, well, Sawa, you take it away. Where are we headed to?
Okay. How do you go, by the top or the bottom? Like you start from the top, right?
I tend to go first with who's joined me. And then I try and hit, if there's people on the board, I try and get theirs. And then I'm just chaos in the making of haphazardly clicking things,
okay.
Which is completely unhelpful.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, you already put it there, right? You did put it still, correct? Or do I need to pull it?
He said he did. Yes, it is. It's at the very bottom. You might need to refresh.
Yeah, you want what I mean?
Oh, that's fine. No,
sure.
No,
okay.
Thank you.
I'm happy to wait. I do have to
we're just having fun
naughty.
Together. We're sitting in anticipation.
And I'm hoping Jean won't throw her key at me for reading this one.
It's going to be great.
Oh, you didn't put it? I'm so confused. I really am.
I'll put it up. I've got it.
I'm sorry. I thought you put it. I'm sorry. I thought you put it. That's why I didn't grab it. I don't want to be rude.
No. You're all good. No worries at all.
We're all just having fun here, guys.
So funny. I really thought you put it. I'm not looking at the board. I'm looking at the post. So sorry. Because I open yours from a different page. I open it from the list. So I'm waiting for everyone. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, this one, that's a third one. It's kind of naughty. It's called You Bait the Wolf in Me. I burn to chain you. When I see you standing like a tigress in heat against the wall, biting that plump lip between the gravity of our locked gazes, the way your hips sway draws a growl like a predator as you spread those red high-heeled stilettos like prey, begging to be devoured. You know you bait the wolf when you slide your hand into that slip of that dress, strumming fingers under satin while little moans and whimpers electrify the silence. I'm not wearing any panties. You exhale, flashing fuck me eyes that dare me to do my worst, driving my ego to drip. My hands ravage you, tearing your crimson dress to expose your breast and that pulsing throb that always lands you in trouble, stripping you to bare wanton flesh, pinning your hands and savaging you with my insatiable appetite, leaving my bite marks till you scream that you are mine, the hot gush of my breath against your ear. Now turn around and put your hands on the fucking wall, little girl. I demand, knowing you always do as told when naked, a feral kitten seething brattiness with a carnal itch for domination. You know the safe word, baby dolls, I breathe. Never, you hiss in defiance. Oh, my tigress, we'll see if you're still standing after I've sucked you like a demon till you're a quivering, yielding mess all over the floor, sinking my teeth into the nape of your neck, mouthing you, gripping your ass and hair as you moan for the swollen plunge of your erotic fixation, sliding between your wet, desperate folds, and I thrust deep and hard to show you how an alpha wolf claims his bitch. Simple.
And this is why it's a late night show. No, I got to read this one before the show, and I love it. I really, really do love it because there, to me, it really shows the play. The problem with like 50 Shades of Grey is that it gives this idea that the girl didn't really know what she was doing and this guy's just doing whatever he wants to her, punishing her, whether she deserves it or not, whether she wants it or not, whether it's for her satisfaction or not. And that is the problem because a relationship such as this is not about one person controlling another. That's abuse. it's about understanding this other person's needs and understanding that there is a game that you are playing. Some people like role play, and that's never really misconstrued because it's two people pretending to be something they aren't. And very much this lifestyle is also a game because it's understanding the other person's needs and wants, but also knowing that they're going to say something if they're not comfortable. And yet this shows a perfect session. This shows the way in which one might be dominated, but the other one is submitting because they want to, not because they have to. They know that there is an out. They know that there are paper cuffs that they can break and they will be safe. And yet, because everybody's playing within these rules, everyone gets to have fun. It's raw and it's real and it's delicious. And each time I read it, I've gotten a goosebumps because it just hits all the fun pleasure points. And it's just, as usual, it's leaving me just drooling. Really, really fantastic piece. Really fun piece that I think is an accurate representation and a real representation of a lifestyle I think so many people misunderstand. So I just really phenomenal piece, Silk. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you, Victoria. And I'll take that as a big compliment if I got you drooling there. So.
And Salwa, what did you think?
Oh my goodness, I'm just gonna start giggling. I'm just like the shyest person on earth, so this is gonna be tough. You, sorry, I'm just like
this is so great. This is like making me just like giddy over here. Salwa, I love you so much.
You paid the will for me, just the title itself. It's just like watching a erotic movie or scene. as you said, to people enjoying this. I just can't find my word. I'm really sorry.
So you have very left always speechless. I don't know what better compliment you can have, Silk.
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, now that we've got everybody giggling, Mark, what did you think? Did we lose Mark?
And something happened to Mark, too. You see? Not only me.
Oh, no. I'm here. I was on mute. I do this a lot. I have to get used to talk show stuff. Yeah, and I'm here. But what I loved about this is this dance of pretense from the woman. But she's the woman is the one in control throughout the whole poem. She's the tigress. She's kind of teasing and moving around, and this strong sensual leaning in is from her, and the guy is reactive here, kind of her helpless reactor to all her tigress routine. It's kind of like this overpowering, and it's great. It just shows empowerment and love, and then the ending, finally she gets what she wants for a moment. He becomes the alpha wolf, and there's completion, it was just great eroticism, great comedy, great sensuality, and a lovely game played out. Really liked it.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And
if I may say, one thing I've
noticed that I think is, you've been talking about things misunderstood, is one thing is I've seen people misunderstand, I think, a submissive person or a woman even, that's not always the case, but sometimes women tend to be more submissive, but also submissive doesn't mean powerless. To me, a lot of times I've noticed I've dated a few submissive women, and a lot of times they will do things to get themselves into that kind of situation, into trouble, into And that's what they really want to do. And so I see that line in there about brattiness and everything. I've noticed that. And I think some are just looking for someone to tame them like that. And with all that, too. So I just want to say that.
And see, that's what I really liked about Mark's comment is he recognized, you know, you pointed out that the dominant, the male, Silk, in this instance, is reacting to her. Yes, he is the one who seems by all eyes to be, you know, having his way with her as he sees fit, but it is all a reaction upon what she wants, what she has done.
Right.
You know, and so, and like you said, Silk, the name submissive or the role named submissive is a really misleading thing because ultimately when they say stop, it means stop. And the Dom really is there for their pleasure. He might get pleasure out of doing the things he's doing, but the concern is the submissive, you know, pleasure and their well-being thereafter. I mean, you can do aftercare on a Dom, but the submissive tends to be in the more vulnerable role. And so I think there's a misnomer there that people don't always understand. So it was, it was an awesome comment. Awesome comment. Awesome, amazing poem. So that was awesome. Thank you guys. And I hear we have another ninja who's joined the show. Faith, are you hiding in the background?
I am. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to the joy. Welcome to the show that is filled with giggles and Silk and fun things. Did you by chance get to hear or read Silk's poem?
I didn't hear it, but I've been kind of reading as you're commenting, and I really enjoyed it. I like between the gravity of our locked gazes, and locked seems to work on multiple levels because, you know, if we're doing S&M kind of stuff in this show. And I like what you guys were saying about how the submissive isn't necessarily, like, powerless. And I like in your poem that you seem to be responding to what she wants, and you're recognizing that she is, you know, welcoming this. I thought this was, it was very hot, and it was tastefully done.
Well, thanks, Fajana. Appreciate that.
That was an awesome comment, Faith. Thank you. And again, just hitting on that point that it's about that game. It's about knowing the rules, about knowing each person's place, and how there are those little moments that cue people into the next move. So just really awesome comment, Faith. Thank you so much. All right. And now my awesome for the night co-host, Salwa. Where are we at?
I put one on the board already. I think I did this time.
Yep, I do. I see it. Hope's hiding.
And I took it from the bottom.
By Greg Gall. Okay, and I'll take this read. Hope's hiding. She tilts her head. Light lifts one brow to say somehow the time is now. Pursed, parted lips, eyes seeking stare. Hope slips somewhere. Loose looks cast down, Liddy lacy gown, deep desire sound. End poem. And Faith, since you're brand new on the show, what did you think?
I like it. It's short, but it has a nice flow to it. And I like hope slips somewhere. And the hope is in the title, too. So it's like, it's all about the anticipation and where you hope something's going to go. I think that the anticipation can be the exciting part sometimes, so I like that.
Hello?
I was on mute. Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
I thought I dropped. I didn't know what
to say. I love that comment, Faith. Because you're right, a lot of it is that anticipation of where's this going to lead, where's this going to go. I think that was just a really awesome comment. And I would agree, I really did like the drinking in of this person, getting to see the nuances of how she tilts her head, how a brow is lifted, the gown, the way the eyes kind of take in the other person. It's an appreciation of someone as a whole in that moment, and then an anticipation of where it's going to lead. It's simple, but at the same time, it really kind of draws you in and wraps you up and lets you feel that a really phenomenal poem. And Silk, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a very beautiful and sensual brevity. I liked his use of alliteration here a little bit. He had a lot of repeating sounds, especially the L's. And I really liked that line, as Tatiana said, but the last three lines were my favorite. The loose looks cast down, live, lacy gown, deep desires found. I just, like I said, I thought it was very beautiful and very sensual. And the brevity just gave it a lot of impact. And very well read.
Well, thank you for the reading, and thank you for that comment. I do agree that was, it was really fun the way that he kind of put that poem together and leaves us in anticipation. And Sawa, what did you think?
I like how when sometimes people are so in love, they don't need words. She didn't need to say somehow. She didn't say it. He knew what she wanted to say. The time is now. Pursed, parted lips, eyes seeking stare. From her eyes, from her way she put herself, he knows her very well, that he understood what she really desired. And that's very beautiful.
Oh, I love that comment. The gentle appreciation of someone that you know wholly and understand those little gazes, those little nuances, what they mean, because you don't always know that with a stranger. So that was a fantastic comment, Paula. Thank you. And Mark, what did you think?
I totally agree with all the comments so far. This is kind of, technically, it's really, it's kind of different. It's simple, as you noted, and this type of simplicity needs a lot of technique to achieve. Just the way, it's like a comedy of manners or something like that. You're just following precisely each gesture and sequencing through them, like noting the gesture, and the rhyme serves as emphasis to the next little pause, moving steadily to the, you know, deep desires found. Just the flow of it and the technique there, really beautiful and original, I thought. Very nice, strong poem.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And I love that you noted the simplicity too, because, you know, when you first start dating someone, sometimes there's a lot of grandeur and flair to them. And I think that when you really know someone, you get to see that simplicity of what makes them tick. It's easier to decipher those little things. So I think you're right that this poem really, in its simplicity, also shows the level of intimacy that is in that relationship. That was a really awesome comment, Mark. Thank you so much. All right, and Sala, where are you going to take us next?
Don't like it. I didn't know if you want to put Altaziana poem there first, or that's why I didn't put one.
Yeah,
I don't have one.
Is here. Oh.
No.
I'm just here to hang
out
with us.
Oh, that's so sweet. So I'll put the next one. I didn't put one because I really thought she's going to be there. So here we go. I put one by order from the bottom. And here we are. Sent.
All right. So this is going to be Albatross Alerts by Mermaid. And Faith, since you didn't bring a poem, would you mind reading this one for us?
Of course. Albatross Alerts by Mermaid. Daily skimming railing decks or regular wrecks, a view to reach the crew of a life journey ship, mice and hell hull vices, or albatross alerts off predator paychecks, an interloper staking out their clammy claimed submissive observers without honest names, single chairs and public sofas. If you give me dark glasses, I think I could pursue both. to be full of fire and alive, or sublime and retreating, immobile. Happy I am, as happy as anyone of the reclaimed few. Should I feel obliged to fight a war, I thought I had already won. Single chairs, public sofas, if you give me dark glasses, I think I could pursue both. And well.
Oh, this was a really, really fun poem. I really like how kind of it starts off with this idea of a mermaid or a siren kind of luring the seafaring men to, you know, the side, tempting them into wrecks just to see if they're going to reach their journey, the end of their journey. But to me, it really kind of becomes something more. It becomes almost someone who is willing to put themselves out into a situation that's not the norm, maybe something that they historically wouldn't be comfortable with. But if you give them a modification, if you give them, you know, some glasses, if you give them a chair, then they're willing to pursue something more. They're willing to put themselves out on that limb to take a leap. And I think in a lot of ways, there's kind of an elegant sensuality to this poem because it coaxes you to step out of your comfort zone. It coaxes you, it offers you the opportunity to try something that maybe you haven't tried before, and it might turn out terrible. You might find the wrong person to go on this journey with. But you could also learn something new. You could reclaim a piece of yourself that perhaps you didn't know. And it's just, to me, it's really kind of just really fun because it offers that dare. It offers that siren's call, if you will, to explore the seas, explore the unknown without fear of the danger that could lay ahead, because it's always going to be there. Just to me, it was a really clever, really fun kind of write. And Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, it was very intriguing poem, kind of surreal. It's really different. It's a bit of, it's obviously a voyage, and there's threat, and there's watchfulness, and there's interloper stalking, and there's the narrator there sitting on the deck, and I love the it's a bit of something like Lewis Carroll, a bit of strange, quote strange unquote, built into the logic of this poem purposely, and creates this slightly surreal effect, slightly disconnected, humorous view of life, and life is a voyage, and the danger stalking around, the interlopers coming, and the narrator is in the center of it, ready to fight a war that they fought in the past, should something emerge. And that was a lovely repetition there, single chairs and public sofas. If you gave me dark glasses, I think I could pursue both, repeated twice. I thought that was beautiful. And it seems to say the narrator's in the middle of this dangerous, slightly absurd situation, like life itself is dangerous and slightly absurd. Observed and watchful and able to sit in a single chair or mingle in a public context, but just sitting there experienced and watchful and ready to help defend the crew of this ship. And I love phrases like submissive observers without honest names, which seems to say to me that, you know, you have to, you know, have, and to survive, you have to have internal honesty. You have to have confidence in yourself, or you'll get picked off by the interloper stalking us all in some sense. And just a remarkable poem. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, it was a fantastic comment, Mark. Thank you so much. I love how you brought in the idea that you have to really be strong in your resolve, otherwise you could get picked off by those interlopers. Because in this life, we are so easily distracted away from where we want to go, where we think we're going to go. And so I think understanding that both in the context of learning who you are, as well as this journey of ourselves, of life, I think that's a really important lesson to be learned. And so I love that you pulled that out of that poem. And Faith, what did you think?
I liked it. I like the part that repeats the single chairs, public sofas. If you give me dark glasses, I think I could pursue both. And for me, I mean, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought that was kind of like willing to do things in public in like a chair, or I'm trying to think where there actually is a public sofa. I can't even think anywhere. That's not true. At my library, I've caught people doing it.
Oh my god!
This is bringing out the real stuff tonight.
As soon as I said that, I'm like, oh wait, yeah. but it's like the dark glasses thing. It's like if you're slightly in disguise, if you have something that makes you like a little bit anonymous, then it gives you that extra like, I don't know, craziness. Like I'm kind of like a geek with like cosplay things and like stuff at like Comic-Con, and it's true when you're someone else, you're less shy. So that dark glasses thing, just, I like that part.
See, I really like that you thought of exhibitionism in this with the chairs, but it actually kind of reminds me of like, unfortunately, I was not the girl in high school to do this, but there was always that rumor in high school when, you know, streaming really wasn't around, as I date myself. And so people went to movie theaters and there was always the whole, you know, oh, did you hear like so-and-so did it in the movie theater? They got thrown out of the movie theater, that kind of stuff. You didn't sit in the back row of the movie theater because you're either making out or you're doing things. And your comment really kind of reminded me of that, of finding those things that maybe you aren't comfortable with. And I love that you brought in cosplay, because you're right, it is easier to do things when it is not you they are rejecting, but a persona. So I think that was really insightful. So thank you, Faith, for that. And Soap, what did you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Faith. You know, when I read that, I kind of got the sense she might have been talking about trying either private or public type things there, and something I saw. But I liked, she had a really unique, I thought a really unique take on the prompt as well. She kind of went more broad with it, I think. A lot of it to me was kind of talking about the dangers, I think, of seeking out a new partner or a new lover and parts of it. And I liked your observation you made at the beginning about this maybe being kind of like a siren watching from the shores of a ship. And I saw that a second you said it too. And I really dug that, because I really dig sirens. They're really like darkly sensual creatures. And it's just that whole concept I've always just kind of enjoyed, I think. And, like I said, this is a very broad view of the prompt. And I really enjoyed that as well. And very well read, too. Vijana, this great piece.
That was a really awesome comment, Silk. And I love how you just kind of bring in, you know, you brought in some of those fun personal tastes of how sensuality can sometimes be more than one faucet, really. We could have it be the exhibitionism. We could have it be a journey of finding a new lover. It could be, you know, the siren's call. So I really love that you kind of poem in that comment. I think it was really clever and insightful. And Sawa, what do you think?
Okay. I have a different interpretation. I don't know why my mind took me like there. But an interloper, for me, is someone who I think that's the meaning to doing, being in a place or consider not something not comfortable in an area where they're not comfortable or not be also accepted. So I feel it's like an introvert person, especially when she said single chairs and public sofa, because to be outside in the world where she's not comfortable, she's an introvert person and she's going to get out of this comfort zone, because a chair, for me, sofa and a single chair is a place where you're comfortable sitting, but you're going to do both, try to get out of this zone and wear the dark glasses, because that will help her feeling better, or not, the discomfort will go away. And that's what I see there. My mind sometimes takes me to crazy places, but that's what I see. Especially.
No, I think that's actually really, really insightful, because and it's not everyone. There are definitely people who, you know, could be the preppy girl. You don't get to live in one certain life and it leads you down a path of BDSM or S&M or you know, whatever your kink might be. Freaky people are all around. And but what I really do appreciate is that, you know, you mentioned how people sometimes do feel out of place, seeking that comfort, seeking the couch, trying to find where you belong. I think that's really important for people to acknowledge, because there are different places in which we find belonging. And this really kind of reminds me of Dex's contest, actually, that he's running with Faith, about what is your idea of home. And there are some people who find home in family. There are some people who find home in friends. And there are some people who don't find home until they have found that lover who is willing to accept those deep, dark secrets that they've been insecure about. And even in this kind of lifestyle, there is an idea of home, that this person is going to listen and care for you and make sure that you're not harmed. And I think in a lot of ways, that's a deep human need and want. And so to take this prompt and to bring it to a place where you express that you don't feel like you belong, you express that you feel like you're this outsider, seeking a place where you can sit on a sofa and be comfortable, I think that's a really important thing to talk about and to see. So I really appreciate the way your brain works, Sawa, because I think that's a really important topic to have in any kind of conversation. So thank you for that. I think it's a perfect
pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. And I post the next poem for Nutrien Bond. Violet Wand.
Awesome. All right. So this one's called Violet Wand. And I'm going to have, I really feel like this needs a feminine voice, but we haven't had Silk or Mark call read yet. Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot and have you read this one.
All right. Waking with a jump-started chest, like a jack-in-the-box, it crackles and jostles with palpitations. The goosebumps on my skin are electric, tensing with the crack of arched cerulean lightning emitted from a violet wand. I pull at the shibari restraints, which tighten like a boa constrictor around my wrists, contorting my flesh to your ministrations. Body is an earth wire sewn deep in the bowels of supple land, like the roots of an oak tree. Crackling dominates the airwaves, my safe word sealed behind cracked lips, utterances elicited like stick. Catic giggles. To whom do you belong? End of poem.
Oh my goodness. I loved this poem the first time I got to read it, and I just love it just as much before. There's a few things that play into this, a few kinks, if you will. But I've always thought shibari restraints are just, they're gorgeous. It's these for those who haven't seen it, I mean, even if you don't, if you're not into any kind of particular lifestyle, they're gorgeous. They're like art in and of themselves, and yet they are done as a way to restrain the person. But what I really like about this is that you can see the strength and the power that Neutron portrays in this. Cackling or crackling dominates the airwaves, my safe word sealed behind cracked lips. It's being on that edge of being at your limit, being given wholly over to them and not wanting to stop. It's a mental game that allows your senses to be heightened, and in this, you get those heightened senses. You get the goosebumps, the feeling of electricity, the way that the wand emits lightning that makes you jolt and shiver and writhe. And yet never once does she outright say that you're writhing or that any of this is really going on, but it leaves you with that sensation. And then at the end, to whom do you belong? It is a beautiful statement of domination and ownership. And yet at the same time, it is this understanding of safety. It's just a really, really fun piece that I think just kind of leaves at least me with goosebumps, and it's just absolutely delicious. And Sawa, what did you think?
Neutron always talk about deep emotion and pain. I see pain in this poem where she say from the beginning, working with the jump started chest at the in a like a jack in the box, it crackles and just a little palpation. Palpation, when you have palpation, when you've been in a place where you construct, how you say this in English? Maybe help me, Mark. Like in a corner where you place, you know how people sometimes have fear of places where they're stuck in, what do you call it in English? Oh my God.
Claustrophobia?
It's claustrophobia, but more than that, but it's forced to be in this box, like almost restrained. There's no freedom, just like being in this box, and you feel this palpitation because there's fear, and the goosebump on my skin are like tensing with the crack. And she go on, admitted, describing this feeling. I pull a string which tightened like a boa around my wrist. Around your wrist is like boa, like something, there's torture almost. And you see it in her skin, flash to my menstruation. My body is in earth wire, just wire. That's so much, almost someone torturing. It's torture for me. Like the roots of an oak tree, crackling, dominates the airwaves. My safe word, only thing that makes her safe is her word, sealed behind cracked lips. It's so painful. It really made me, to whom you belong. Oh, my God, this is so painful. It really made me very emotional. And I've been there, so I understand. Doesn't have to necessarily be physically, but someone who really don't give you a chance to breathe. To be yourself, yeah. And that's very heartfelt.
I think that's a really beautiful and raw comment, because it is like there's a saying that love and anger are the same; it's just a different side of the coin. There's a very fine line between what is love and what is anger, and I think in the same right, while some done right and both parties are willing, a dominant submissive relationship can be a very healthy thing. It can be a very beautiful thing, and it can be a very freeing thing. But if you also look at it in the sense of an unwilling dominant submissive, it can be very painful. And it reminds me, your comment reminds me that part of the reason there's these misperceptions is because we also know what abuse is. And okay. Your comment reminds me of like my sister who is in an abusive relationship, wholly abusive. And I have watched her deteriorate as a person because she is not allowed to be who she is. She is. you know, who she's meant to be. She's not allowed to do the things that she's like. She is restrained to these specific things and told, you belong to me. And so I think your comment really too reflects that opposite side of the coin. You know, done right, a dominant submissive relationship is very beautiful, very healthy. When it's not, when it's imposed upon someone, even if it's not in the sexual act, it is very painful. It is very hurtful. And so I think it's really important that your comment kind of brought that to light, that this can be read in both ways, both as that beautiful, healthy relationship and what it can be like to be trapped in a relationship where you will never be freed, no matter how much you strain. So I do really appreciate your comment, Bella. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Faith, what did you think?
I really liked the lightning part of it, like how the skin was electric, and the fact that it was cerulean lightning, I liked, because for some reason, if lightning or electricity is blue, it seems so much more intense. So that was a good detail. And I liked the safe word being behind the sealed lips. It's like choosing not to let it out. It's sealed, but it's still there. I thought this was really good, and I feel a little guilty how much I liked it now that I'm re-listening to Sella's side of things, because, I mean, I've been on that side of things too, with a not choosing to be there. But this definitely seems like it was, to me, intended as a fun thing.
That was a really beautiful comment, Faze. And again, I agree. I love the way Sala's mind works, because she does bring in these different components that I think a lot of us don't necessarily always read. You know, we can read a poem as a, you know, just written straight to the prompt and to go from that. And yet Sala reminds us that sometimes there's a little bit more. Sometimes that plea for help is in there. And it makes us sometimes rethink it. It's not necessarily what it may or may not be what the poet intends, but I think that we do need to take a moment to appreciate that there's always two sides, a yin and a yang to everything. And so I truly, truly love that you brought that up.
Thank you.
And so what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this was one of those good things. And Violet Wand, that's one of those, I believe that's one of those implementation that actually kind of shoots out electricity that you use for electricity play. It's like a blue tube. But to me, this really spoke of having like an electricity play session of a dominant, a sub, and I especially like the ending, that bit of challenge. I took it where she says, crackling dominates the airways, my safe word sealed behind cracked lips, utterances elicited like staccatic giggles. To whom do you belong? I had that as her being saying she won't break no matter what, kind of bring it. Is how I kind of took that, and but in a good way, you know. I thought, the rest of it, like I said, I loved how she described it, all the way from my body and earth wire, so deep in the bowels of Supalan, like the roots of an oak tree is kind of, she's speaking to how strong she is and how much she can take, and that the person won't break her at all. I really enjoyed that, because a lot of times, in a good way, I think sometimes play sessions like this can be kind of a battle of wills as well as other avenues there, and that kind of spoke to that. And I thought it was a very enjoyable piece and very well read, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks. And that was a great comment, so thank you. And speaking of Mark, what do you think getting to read it?
Well, again, I agree to all the comments. Great comments, and the language is, you know, is masterful writer. The language is so strong, crackles and joshes with palpitations. It's the descriptive side of it, but it's also the metric, and it's just really strong poetry. The contorting my flesh to your ministrations, I'm perfectly in control of the language, strongly executed. And it's a metaphor, you know, it's an SMM plaything, I guess. I don't know too much about that. The violet wand, I figured, was some sort of electric probe, and just teasing and playing through this situation. It's also, read it and then happened to glance down at the AM and saw that nice comment there. I want to show you the beauty of your safe word. That kind of helped me with the poem. This is a metaphor for any intense relation or situation that it can be beautiful and strengthening, the stimulus and stresses we go through. But as long as there's that safe word there, that trust, then it's all okay fundamentally. And if it's not, it's torture. Is the point that I think this really beautiful poem makes. Really enjoyed it.
I love the way that you said that the beauty of this safe word is that it's all okay fundamentally, as long as there is that trust. It is that willingness, that consent, that makes it beautiful. And not so much necessarily the aspect that could be considered torture, but, you know, there is pleasure and pain play as well, where the intent is actually to create pain because it's pleasurable for someone, but having that safe word, being able to stop it when it's too much, it really is a beautiful and deep sign of trust. So thank you so much, Mark, for that comment. That was really, really beautiful and really insightful. All right. And Salwa, you've got our next one up, I see.
Yes, I sure did. I'm trying.
You are doing fantastic. She's like, you're like on the ball. I like barely even refresh. It's like, bam, there's a new one there. You're doing great. I'm going to have to keep you on forever, Salwa. You didn't mean it, but now you're mine. All right. And Silk, would you mind giving this one a read for us?
Sure thing. I'd be honored. There it goes. Okay. Opening it up. And this one's called On by Riverhead. On this good day, I lay of shining the sun. I am awake to you, beast. Steal me, my vows aside, my eyes black-lined, pierce me, my breasts unswept, my arms outstretched, swoop down and seize me, tear into me. I am arched for thee, can't you see? I am drawn, untied, unwrapped, undone. Your wings eclipse the sun, this world holds nothing, all blessings are none. For this good day, I am your prey. I am restless. How can you miss? Perish me, undo and punish me. Despite, I will fight, sink your talons through and through. I am all for you. Can't you scent your victory? Feed upon me. To my bones, tear this fear. Alight upon me. Unbind and be mine. There is nothing left, not thine. Ah. But on you fly, whilst your poor lover pours water over her altars for no other.
That was a really awesome read. Thank you. And Salwa, would you mind starting us off on comments on this one?
Reminding me actually of a blue poem, kind of. There's this wanting and desire, but this time she's the one asking straightforward for that. That's what I see there, all the language and all the question that she put there. Can you sense your victory? Can you see, and from the beginning, excuse me, can you see, and then she put a statement, and then can you sense your victory? Feed upon me. Just beautifully done, and the repetition of on this good day. That's the day. It's just really, it is beautiful, very romantic. and very sentimental and sensual.
That's a really beautiful comment, Paula.
And beautifully red, blue too. I'm getting a little bit confused.
No, I think that's really beautiful because you, there is this acknowledgement of the freeing nature that this can be. I do really like the way that she says, on this good day, I lay out shining the sun. So this person has made her feel vibrant. They are awake and they want them to feel them, you know, even vows aside, you know, and it makes me think of wedding vows, you know, till death us do part, in sickness and in health. You know, it's supposed to be the good and the bad. And in this, it's saying, you know, whether my vows are here or not, you know, take me. I am yours. Swoop down and seize me. I am bearing myself to you, arching to have you wrap me. That they are both tied and untied, wrapped and unwrapped, done and undone. Because even if they are in these restraints, in this moment, the world does not matter. They are with this person that lifts them up beyond what they are. They are a willing prey. And there's this kind of beauty in that, a freeing aspect in that, that just feels pure, cleansing. And whole. It's simple, and yet at the same time, it is so intimate. It is almost a worship. It's just a really, truly beautiful piece. So, and thank you, Sala, for bringing that up. That I think that's just spot on. And Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, this beautiful poem. This, you know what made it so positive was it's about passionate response to this vision she has of the other swooping in and invasive, but also passionate. But the invasion is a result, you know, of somebody who wants it, who's, you know, arched for thee and clearly wanting and inviting it. And it's, you know, kind of this ecstatic union. Reminds me of those, it's mythic, you know, all those poems about, you know, Jupiter raping Leda as it's turning into a swan and swooping down and raping the women, or the turn the gender around, the Valkyries kind of swooping down and taking the slain warriors. It's got a bit of a mythic element, the way she structures it with the winged presence, and it's tied to the personal passion. That is felt here. It's ecstatic, and at the end, the vision, the intensity goes away, and while your poor lover pours water over her altar for no other. That's brought out. That's when I actually didn't think of myth or anything till that final conclusion. But I'm part of the metaphor here. But basically, it's a human passionate response. So a woman. Who, you know, is inviting this union. Beautiful poem.
Oh, I just love that comment. I didn't even think of a mythical stance, and yet you're right. There's a lot in mythology that speaks of dominance and submission and the freeing nature that can be. And yet it reminds me of Zeus, who was a very well-known lover, and yet he did not necessarily love, which really kind of goes along that idea of this person pouring water onto an altar that may or may not respond. That was a truly remarkable comment, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. And Faith, what did you think?
I really liked the part about from my bones tear this fear. It's like asking someone to help you get past your inhibitions. And I see that as something that maybe submissive people sometimes want someone who's more dominant because then they can, like, be follow along and like, learn new things kind of thing. I'm not saying this nicely, but you know what I mean? I just like that part about, like, getting past the fear. I love the way that it's, like, kind of demanding. So despite the fact that this is from the sub point of view, it's like, steal me, pierce me, tear into me. It's actually quite demanding. So there is that strength within it too. I don't know. I like the way that it was structured, where it had, like, that demand every once in a while. It would give little descriptions in, like, three or two lines sometimes, and then it would have that one line that stands apart that's just like, do this. I don't know. I like the way that it was structured.
I really love that comment, Faze. And I do love that you brought up how a submissive might want someone who's going to be a little bit more dominant. There are definitely, it's definitely nice to have someone else take the reins and just lead, and you not have to worry about all the minute little details of how is this going to play out and all that kind of stuff, but just kind of being there along for the ride. And so I think that is really insightful for you to say that, because, you know, I can, speaking for myself, there have definitely been times when it's like, you know what, I had a really shitty day and I don't want to think, and I just want someone to take control and let the day, let the night play out how it will. I don't want to have to worry about this. I just want to be. And so having a dominant, having someone who can do that is a gift in those instances. So I think that was a really insightful comment. And Silk, I don't think I've called on you yet. What did you think?
Well, I thought this was a very lovely and sad piece. She, to me, was speaking of someone that has just totally enthralled her, just totally and utterly that she has fallen in love with and is just head over heels for. But then at the last stanza, she's saying, but on you fly whilst your poor lover water over her altar for no other, saying that she's kind of saying, hey, all these things she's saying that she does for him, but it's kind of like he doesn't get it or is not seeing it or is not appreciating it, because I thought that ending was very powerful. And in her author notes where she said the safe word is no safe word, it kind of spoke to me about how cool love could be at times. I thought, at least at the end, but it was very sensual too throughout. Like I said, it was a beautiful piece with a little bit of that hint of the sadness at the end, to me anyway. And I just really enjoyed it.
That was an awesome comment, Silk. I really like that. And really quickly, I know Pam is being our sneaky ninja in the background, but we may have another caller. So if she could check on that for me. And while we do that, Sawa, let's wait on this poem that you just posted. This is the person who might be calling in.
Sure.
So could you post another poem for us?
Of course.
And we'll come back to that one.
Sure. Let me pull it. Oops, where'd they go? You want to, here we go. I went to the wrong place. And what's the next one would be Nikki, I guess. Or buried. Yes, here we go. Copy. And back to the prompt page. Getting there. Just for some reason I turned out. Here we go. It's by cell phone by Nikki. Did I drop out or I'm here? I'm confused. Can you hear me?
I think Victoria might be muted.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
I still hear you.
I'm hearing everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it happens that
uh-oh,
you get dropped off. I remember in some shows it happened,
yeah,
to
we
her
don't
before. It happened before to her. She got dropped off.
Yeah. Pam and Victoria drop. We're going to be in a little bit of trouble.
She would be back. I think Pam will get her in.
Yeah.
It happens, I remember.
This happened before.
Right. Yeah,
so Stella, who do you want to read?
I don't know who's supposed to read. Did you read and Mark read, and who else didn't read?
I think it'd be you or Feziana next to read, honestly, because
I think it's
Mark
me.
Read
I think
than
it's
I read.
Me. I didn't read, so it's me.
I think it's Victoria's turn to read. But
should I read or should we wait? What do you think, guys? I don't know.
I think you should
read.
Read?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and
by
post
Mickey,
the form up, and we'll read it up.
Okay, I put it there. Mickey 1022, cell phone. Time for a little more than that three-lettered word where we can drop it all, the things that keep us censored. There's no thrill in it when we can get down to the edge of it. Nothing, like in the pictures, bound to the strictures. You can be the disc jockey, and I can be your vintage finally. Play all that jabberwocky while you got me going spiral. I'll give you all the things you want while you're pumping it up, always at your orders, my commandant, your obedient little trollop. Better stop when you hear the cell phone. There is no thrill in it when you can get down to the edge of it. Baby, you can be the king while you sit up high on your throne, and I can be your trashy fling, the kind that bears the child that you disown. You're feeling my head up past with all these wicked games, those bittersweet lambast with the tension in me in flames. Better when you hear the cell phone, there's no thrill in it when you can get down to the edge of it. Just like in the movie pictures, losing ourselves within it all, and always take the fall in that final curtain call. But when you hear cell phone, there's no thrill in it when we can get down to the edge of it. Like in the movie pictures, losing ourselves within it at all. And you know it takes the fall. Oh, baby, I take the fall. And you know I'll take the fall in that final curtain call. Better stop when you hear the cell phone. Cell phone. You hear the cell phone. Oh, you better stop when you hear the cell phone and the phone.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm really sad that I dropped because I didn't get to hear Sawa read all of it. I was sitting over here reading it to myself, but Sawa did so much better than me. So I really love this poem because it really kind of digs deep into the mind play that you can have. And yet, at the same time, there is that word. There is that safe word that's going to kind of play in. And it, to me, it's kind of interesting that they chose the word cell phone because the idea of better stop when you hear the cell phone could also be that implication of pausing because the phone rings. And how many times have people been in the midst of it and they get a message or they get a phone call and they have to pause even if for a moment. But I liked the mind game that kind of showed here, that it's more than that three-letter word. It's about getting to be the disc jockey and the vintage vinyl, playing things, you know, allowing yourself to be commanded, being obedient to a king as they sit upon their high throne, their throne, and, you know, the idea of being someone's trashy little fling, you know, that idea of being used and then discarded, that's what some people really quite enjoy. And yet there's that safe word that when you hear the cell phone, it stops. The games are done. The action stops. Whatever's going on, too much, it ends. And so that kind of reminder of, okay, we're at the final curtain call. We're done. We're at the cell phone. You better hear the cell phone. Do you hear the cell phone? And the way it ends kind of makes me wonder how many times they've had to say that word for a person to listen, because perhaps they think play and
This is all just part of it. But there is a hardness behind that, their word. There's a hardness behind a safe word that, nope, we're done. And so to me, it's kind of, it's really interesting because you could be too caught up in the mental games, and yet in a healthy relationship, that's where you stop. To me, it was intellectually, it was a really interesting piece. And yet at the same time, I think it kind of captures that grasp of what a safe word could and should be. So really, really interesting, really well done. And I'm sad I didn't get here, so I'll read all of it. And Faze, what did you think?
I like the beginning where it says, drop all things that keep us censored. There's that appeal to being able to have like that safe space with whoever it is, or whatever the situation is, where you don't have to be censored. And like maybe you're like proper most of the time, and then in this situation you're not. But I agree with you at the end that she repeats it so much that it's a little bit concerning. It's like you shouldn't have to say your safe word like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think she says it like 9 mm-hmm. times there at the end. Like, that's not actually a very safe word if you have to do it that many times. So that's a little bit alarming at the end there. But I think maybe that was intentional as a to make us think about it.
That was an awesome comment, Faze. Thank you. And Silk, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that entire piece. For me, I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to find that. That stanza that really. Oh, there it is. I thought this was just a perfect stanza, and I loved her descriptions here of how she can be his whatever. But this fourth stanza, you can be the disc jockey, and I can be your vintage vinyl. Play all that Jabberwocky while you've got me going spiral. To me, I just love that stanza. It was like a perfect little ditty, I guess, and a little rhyme. And since I'm all into rock and roll and metal, that really hit the right spot there, essentially, and with the music angle. And I also like where she said right here, the baby, you can be the king while you sit up high on your throne. I can be your trashy fling, the kind that bears the child you disown. It just had that whole thing that she wants to play his like dirty girl or his harlot, I guess. And she even used the word trollop up here somewhere, if I recall. Yes, right here. Always at your orders, my commandment, your obedient little trollop. I like the language choices. And I don't know, for me, I could be reading way too into this because there's not really a whole lot that dates it, but I, for some reason, I got the feeling that this cell phone call might be the man's wife or another that they are messing around on or something. I don't know, the cell phone. I just, for some reason, that's what I thought was the man's wife or perhaps her husband. I'm not sure. But to me, I love that. And I don't know if I have an overactive imagination or if I'm just very dirty-minded. But like I said, I thought this was a brilliant poem, and I love the references, like especially the music language they use. She used to describe everything going down.
I love how, and you're right, they do have awesome language in this, but I love how you're like, I just get the impression that it's his wife. I can see that too. I mean, there is kind of that language, the idea of being someone's like side piece, you know, just someone that they can use, impregnate, and then toss to the side. That fixation on cell phone, like, hey, I'm trying to shock you out of it. There's something going on. Why is this person texting you so much? I can kind of see where you get that too. But to me, it was, I don't know. I just thought that was really... I really enjoy that you were like, I think it's his wife, like just so out there. Like we have just accused the character.
I think it's the man's wife with you, yeah. Texting him like, where are you? He better not be with that girl.
What's going on here?
Exactly.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, folks. And Mark, what did you think?
I thought it was a great comedy. I'm struck by how this and some of the other poems like Silks, the other safe word poem, how it can, the safe word is what makes it comedy, because else this would be tragedy happening, you know, this kind of treatment. But it because you know that the safe word is good for the reader too, because they feel safe in reading this and enjoying it as a great comic execution. That three-letter word, which I took to mean the normal sex, you know, that we can go beyond that and play out the comedy of bondage. And it was just really funny. And I feel safe in saying that because, you know, the safe word, it was just my commandant, your obedient little trollop. I can be your trashy fling, that the kind that bears the child you disown. I mean, I was just laughing reading it. The act of it, the kind of Mel Brooks fooling around, and yet at the same time the sexuality and sensuality, and it was just brilliant. And I love that repeated refrain, and there is no thrill in it when we can't get down to the itch of it. I just thought that was great, 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 great execution. And I really liked remark about, you know, it descends into Bayes' remark about it becomes ominous. Possibly things are going wrong at the end because of the repeated warning, better stop, the repetition of cell phones. So maybe it's not comedy or playfulness anymore at that point. It's going off the rails. It's just a brilliant sequence, a great poem.
That was a really great comment. And I'm so glad that you kind of mentioned that there was that feeling of safety in the poem, because I would agree they do kind of set us up to feel safe as a reader. And yet as the safe word starts to be used more and more, as the lyrical nature, as Pam mentioned in the group, kind of takes on more and more, it can also be seen as kind of like this panic, this concern, and suddenly we're maybe not so safe, be it in a shocking twist of the wife is calling, or in that something is going wrong. So I think that was a really awesome comment that you gave, Mark. So thank you for that. And Sawa, what did you think?
I have a different interpretation again. Sorry, I like your interpretation.
Yes, I love it.
Crazy. I love his interpretation. It was, my mind was hesitant there, but I see the word, the title is cell phone. That's an indication that this is really big. I didn't see it as a safe either from the beginning, because she always say, like, where is it? The repetition of, it's very realistic, even though she say, like, in the movie, where's those lines? Like movies, I can't leave it. Just like in the movie's picture, like in the movie pictures, losing ourselves. It feels like, you know, how something gets interrupted. In the movies, we have a scene that something happened, interrupt. We have it a lot. We see it in movies where they're having something come and interrupted the phone. I don't necessarily mean, could be, right, his wife or husband, but it could also be that this, when the phone ring, it happened, it's realistic. It interrupt the whole beauty of what's happening. And it take away, and just simply phone ring. Maybe it happened too many times that, remember, this is not going to happen again. We let it happen before and it ruined this, so don't let it happen again, because she insists on it. Better stop when you hear the cell phone, better stop, because that, it stops. It stops everything when you hear the phone. So you tell him, you better don't stop, in other words. Don't have the phone there, because that's what's going to stop it. I don't know. Or the ring, when it rings, you have he or she have the tendency to go listen to the, see who it is. But I really like your interpretation. That was my original. I don't want to lie, Steve, yours. But I really like yours very much, Blue. I think it makes sense. But that's where my mind went from the beginning. So I didn't want to steal yours. But
I see. Really. I love that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. I was going to say, I love that. I love that you kind of have that forewarning that here is this thing that's supposed to be a safe word, and yet it could be the very thing that is stopping us, not necessarily in the sense of an actual safe word, but the thing that comes between us. And so mm-hmm. I do really like that interpretation too, because especially in this day and age where social media is so readily at our fingertips and cell phones are so readily at our fingertips, and especially with COVID where the lines of work and personal life seem more blurred, it definitely gives you that impression that a cell phone could be stopping things and not necessarily in a good way. So I really appreciate that interpretation, Sala.
Oh my pleasure.
All right.
And I'm dropping one, and I hate to leave because it's like almost 2:30 here in the morning.
No, that's okay.
I love your show, and I enjoyed it so much, and you keep enjoying it. Good night, everyone.
Oh. Have a good night, Sala, and thank you so much for being here and posting links up for me. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad I could help a little bit. And okay, keep being great show. Keep doing this. And good night. I hate to interrupt. Just go. I feel horrible. All right. Take your time. So bye bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.
All right. And we've got about 13 minutes left, so I'm actually going to go back to the original poem real quickly that we were going to read. I thought this poet was going to call in, but he may just be tuning in, so I'd really like to make sure that we get this poem before. So we're going to go back to Winter Autumn 16's poem, and then we'll go on to Blatant B. And so, Faze, would you be so kind as to read this one?
I want to write a poem on by Winter Autumn 16. Speed of fan blades, a comforting motion, its cooling notion, the invention of hangers, the drifting clothesline, a mole on my left cheek, and the taste on my tongue, itching in my toes, lodged dirt up in my nails, curls of hair and grays of life, smokes of cloud-dragging nature, ticking off the clock, and the power of its AA battery, runny taps, leaking emotions, freshly baked cookies, and the burnt crisps, leaves that grow, flowers that fade, colors of all kind, and shades of gloom, spoken word, scribbled lines, cigarette stubs and flakes of ash, time of the day, every hour of the night, one for the curse, one for the prayer, web of wires that fill the sky, the gust of air that makes birds fly, the setting of the sun, rays of a dream that flash through, bare pages and barren mind, to feel the world and fill the mind. End poem.
Oh, that was a really cool poem. I think what I really appreciate about this is the hyper-focus upon the little things. Understanding the speed of fan blades and how it gives this cooling motion, and depending on the speed, maybe it's a little bit more comfortable, maybe it's not, the way it blows the hair across your cheek. And speaking of, reminding yourself, memorizing that mole on someone's cheek, the taste of their tongue, the way that your toes itched, it's almost like a meditation on a moment where the world focused down onto one small thing, and how it went walking into a house. So often there's these ideas that, as a kid, you walk home and you smell fresh baked cookies. And yet this one isn't fresh baked cookies. This is burnt to a crisp cookies. And I mean, they have the freshly baked cookies and the burnt crisps. But it's that idea of capturing the various senses that we use that make up life in these moments of things that we enjoy and things that we value. And the way in which we experience this world and how it fills our mind, because it is those things that we, remember that we associate with memories. And so I wouldn't say that this is so much a sensual poem in the sense of intimacy, but yet at the same time, it's a very deep sensual poem of the senses in your own personal self, a real exploration of your depths. And to me, it's just, it's really intellectually stimulating because it makes me think of those feelings, the curl of hair and the feeling of dirt under your nails, tick of a clock. It gives a lot of sensory impact, and I just really enjoyed it for that. And Mark, what did you think? Did we lose Mark?
I'm okay now. Yeah, sorry. I thought it was remarkable.
Okay.
Just following on your comment. It was life and experience and an inventory. You know, inventory is the wrong word, but kind of an annotation, a recounting of experience in a deeply vivid way. And a couple things surprised me about it. How well all these things. I mean, there's a real deep intuition, the poet intuition here, because these things, speed of fan blades, the invention of anger, the drifting clotheslines, a mole on my life. These things are not necessarily kind of obviously related, but it works. I was reading it, and I just felt kind of the organic flow of it, and that the poet had deep tuition to put together this particular list and this order. It was lovely and deeply intuitive. The things the poet put together, juxtaposed, and created here, and these unexpected little verbal plays like curls of hair and grades of life. Smokes of cloud dragging nature mixed with very prosaic things, ticking off the clock and the power of its AA battery, then runny taps, leaking emotions. Emotions is kind of unexpected there, but among them kind of daily recounting of the clock and battery and cookies, but those little metaphors really work, and just going on like that, and then it gets it's lovely. And then I think the beauty kind of deepens at the end. Every hour of the night, one for the curse, one for the prayer. And that's lovely. Unexpected poetry. And the setting of the sun, rays of a dream that flashed through bare pages and bare in mind to fill the world and fill the mind. Just lovely. Beautiful poetry. A poem concludes beautifully, I thought. Very, very strong poem.
Oh, that was a wonderful comment, Mark. And I like how you called it like this inventorying of life, of the senses, because I think you're right. And the way he did it really does flow from one to the next. Even though they're almost different, they also sit next to each other and kind of just walk us through life. So that was a really beautiful comment. Thank you so much. And Faith, what did you think?
This kind of reminds me of like being hyper aware of your senses. So I have this weird brain damage where I either don't feel anything or I feel everything super strong. So after like a week of like being completely numb, all of a sudden I like every little breeze or like the like, I don't know, like the feel of my socks on my feet or like everything feels like super incredibly strong, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way, but it's like when you're super activated, and that can make sensual stuff amazing during the times that you feel. So I think like this would be, this person is like activated. I mean, like I'm a more like normal person because I'm like a freak, but like usually if you're noticing every little thing like this, you're very widely awake to all feelings. So I think it has the potential to lead into the sensual side of your prompt if your senses are heightened in this way.
That was a fantastic comment. And I have to admit, I kind of giggled a little bit when you said that you're a little bit of a you're a little abnormal when it comes to that hyper, but at the same time, there's, you know, I think that you're right, that there is that hyper sense of awareness. One of my favorite things is to have my arm rubbed to the point where it hurts, because it is that kind of, you've overshot the nerves, and to me, it's an enjoyable sensation. And I can, to me, the way you described getting to have that during adult play, I was like, damn, I'm jealous. But anyways, I do think that there's something beautiful in being able to be hyper aware of some of these things, as much as I'm sure it can also make life extremely painful, because you get to memorize them and ingrain them in your brain that much more. So beautiful, beautiful comment, Faith. Thank you. And Silk, what did you think?
I think you're muted, Silk.
Did you lose Silk?
Yeah, I'm on mute. So you're talking away. But I don't really have a whole lot more to add, other than like I can see what you guys are saying there about it being the person being very hyper aware, and I thought that was very meticulous on all the details they listed in here, and I thought it was very well read, and Mr. Vickers.
That was a beautiful comment, Silk. Thank you. All right, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to just quickly say that for everyone who's been on the show, thank you so much for joining us. Salwa, Pam, who's been our little ninja in the background, FaZe, Silk, Mark, I truly appreciate all you guys calling in, spending some time with me, all the poets who wrote in for this. I'm always blown away by the works that pour out of different people by prompts and by thoughts. And so truly your guys' works are what makes the show what it is. So everyone, thank you for all the amazing things you do, for spending time hanging out with me to writing for poems and contests. And with that being said, please be sure to check out the contest by members topic in LNP if you are in the group, because there are some really awesome contests that are going on this week that help with all our shows. But then, of course, we've got a few shows that like Hearts of LNP and the Open Mic Night, where you just submit your work, and it's a really awesome kind of thing just to hear what people have been inspired by that's not necessarily contest related. So with that being said, I'm going to have us finish off the night reading Blatant Bees During the Pot. I have posted that in the group, and Mark, could I get you to read this one for us?
Sure.
Awesome. And then, of course, everyone who doesn't get to comment, be sure to leave a comment for Blatant Bee after the show is over. So take it away, Mark.
Stirring Pots. It's interesting how two people can intensely physically bond, like cling wrap melting over the corners of a hot pot. As the steam compounds against the weakening plastic, forming water droplets that slowly drop down to the cooking meat. The force of heat forces the plastic to expand in and out, like an asthmatic smoker gasping for air. As the thin layer of plastic erratically wiggles, forcing an explosion of aroma, of flavor. The array of taste is carried through the five senses, leaving you gasping for air. As tears leave your eyes, the air becomes even more misty as the adrenaline runs through your body. There exists a link between two forces of nature who sends links souls by touch. They emit heat by transporting vivid images of sight, smell, and sound. Inside every entity exists a place where these emotions brew, but it takes a special individual to actually get it bubbling until the air never stops following you. End of poem.
Fantastic read. Thank you so much. We're just out of time, so I'm going to comment, but then everybody else, please be sure to leave him a comment on this poem because it is, it's truly remarkable. I think what I appreciate is that this is more than just the idea of how two people can come together momentarily, but rather they can almost melt together. And in doing so, they create the space in which beautiful things can flourish and where you can create a dish that not only leaves aromas of flavor, but it allows life and a feast to flourish. There's an idea that they exist together, almost two forces that emit a heat that allows us to kind of grow and become more than what we were. And it really does remind me of cooking, the way that two people can do this, because by itself, butter, most people won't eat a block of it. But if you melt down butter and you add mushrooms or onions or what have you to it, garlic, you create some really intense flavors and both things are heightened from it. And so I think that there is a really beautiful rawness that comes in this because it allows the senses to become more. It allows the people to become more. And at the same time, it shows this melding and coming together in a way that not everybody always gets to experience normally, where two people connect. So to me, it's a really beautiful poem that speaks not just of intimacy, but it speaks of two souls that are truly finding their way home and creating a space for each other. Really beautiful poem. So thank you, Blayton B, for sharing that. Mark, thank you so much for reading that. Again, thank you everyone who joined the show tonight. You are all phenomenal and fantastic, and I truly love and appreciate all of you guys. So with that, we are going to say good night, and I hope everyone's week is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.